Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live, and I must begin this segment by issuing an apology to a couple in our audience at 4:30. We always have time for the anniversary club, and I said we didn't have any anniversaries today. Well, that was my bad. Totally, absolutely my mistake. We do have an anniversary to celebrate today. David and Barb Adkins of Marengo. They were married on August 20th, 1988. That means today they are celebrating 31 years of marriage. David and Barb Adkins, if you were listening at 4:30, I deeply apologize. I am so sorry. I took a quick look at the anniversary list. I didn't see something for today. I didn't check deeply enough. I didn't look at it carefully enough. I missed it, and I am so very sorry. So David and Barb Adkins of Marengo, I hope you are still listening. In fact, I hope you weren't listening at 4:30 and you are listening now. But anyway, I hope you're listening now, and I hope everybody that knows you is listening. So if you know David and Barb Adkins of Marengo, call them right now and say, that Bernie guy just blew it at 4:30, and he just announced your anniversary, and congratulate them on their 31st anniversary. So again, David and Barb Adkins, married on August 20th, 1988, today celebrating 31 years of marriage. And again, I apologize. So David and Barb Adkins, I hope you're listening. And if they're not listening, I hope a whole bunch of their friends are listening. And they will call them and say, hey, I heard your name on WRFD Bob Burney Live. 31 years today, David and Barb Adkins of Marengo. Happy anniversary and apologies. I'm trying to debate where to go next. I've got so many other stories I want to share with you, but I think it's important that we discuss this story because, folks, listen. The liberal left in America is doing their best to divide us. They're doing their best to divide us economically. They're doing their best to divide us socially. The rich and the poor, you know, economically, socially, they are trying to do their best to divide us racially. The liberal left is doing everything they possibly can to divide us as Americans on racial grounds. And this just grieves my heart. And I mean this sincerely. It grieves my heart because I grew up in the 60s. I remember the race riots. I remember the race riots in Southern California. I remember the Watts riots. I remember the Compton riots. I remember the turmoil and the chaos and the division. I remember the sit-ins of the 60s. I remember the stirring speeches of the civil rights leaders of the 60s. And I look back at the sacrifice of so many in the civil rights movement. And not only did many sacrifice, many of them gave their lives. People died to unite us racially so that we would bury our differences racially. And we have made enormous progress. Now, again, in the 60s, if anyone in America would have said, you know, one day we will have an African-American president, I think most people, black, white, purple, green, or orange, I believe most people in America would have said, I don't know that will ever happen. An African-American president? Oh, no. Well, it happened. And I said this, I think I've literally said this hundreds of times. There was almost nothing that I agreed with Barack Obama on policy-wise. domestic policy, foreign policy, economic policy, health care. There was almost nothing that I agreed with Barack Obama on. But I was absolutely thrilled that in America, we had made enough progress racially that an African-American could actually win an election by a huge margin. It wasn't even close. Either of the elections for Barack Obama, he won by a wide margin. What a testimony to the progress we had made in America on race, racial relations, racial equality, and so forth. Does that mean that there isn't room for improvement? Of course not. That mean that racism was completely destroyed? Of course not. But we made enormous progress. I am absolutely convinced that that progress has stopped and is reversing. It's reversing. We're going backwards. We were going forwards. We are now going backwards. And it is not the conservative right. Of course there are some racists on the far right. Of course there are. And they should be condemned. They should be exposed. But folks, it is not the few fringe white supremacist wackos. And yes, there are some white supremacist wackos out there. They are few and far between, but they do exist. They are not the ones dividing us. It's the liberal left. Because it's the only way they believe they can regain power. And for the liberal left, it is not about the good of the people. It's about power. It's about influence. Now, what got me started on that little tirade? Headline. CNN commentator to Republican guest. White men who think like you are the greatest terror threat in the U.S. There is a concerted attempt to portray anyone who is not a liberal leftist as a racist bigot. Starts with the president. And I've said this before. The attack was collusion, collusion, Russia, 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 collusion, Russian collusion, collusion, Russia. And that's all we heard, all we heard, all we heard, all we heard. Russian collusion, Russian collusion. The president is an agent of Russia. Donald Trump is a spy. He's a covert spy for Russia. And Russia interfered in the election as Russia collusion. And the Mueller report, oh, the Mueller report is going to be so explosive. And it's going to expose Donald Trump for what he is, an agent of the Russian government. That all fell apart. It all fell apart. That's all you heard night and day, 7 days a week. On the mainstream media, particularly CNN, when was the last time you heard anything about Russian collusion on CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC? When was the last time? I can't remember the last time. So the narrative has moved from Russia to racism. Okay, he's not a Russian agent, but he's a racist. And we're seeing the liberal left try to portray white people as the evil people. Liberal CNN commentator Angela Rye had a fiery exchange just, I think it was yesterday, with a Republican campaign veteran. The guy's name is Patrick Griffin. And during the interview on CNN, this Patrick Griffin, who is a Republican, said that these four congresswomen that they have called themselves the Squad have hijacked the Democratic Party from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. This Angela Rye, CNN commentator, she's on the paid staff of CNN, goes ballistic. She goes crazy. She goes out of her head because he used the term hijack. and two of the squad are Muslims. And then she says, that's a real interesting word choice. You understand why. You can talk over me all you want, but the bottom line is the greatest terrorist threat in the country is white men. White men who think like you. That is the greatest terrorist threat in this country. Now, I don't know this Patrick Griffin, but he said nothing that was racist. He said nothing against Muslims. He didn't bring up the faith, the religion of these women that call themselves the squad. The term hijack the party has been around for years and years. Well, so-and-so hijacked the party. So-and-so hijacked the agenda. And so she is saying the greatest terrorist threat in America is white men. A blatant attempt to paint with a broad brush anybody who disagrees with the far left of the Democratic Party. The greatest terrorist threat is white men? If you cannot argue with your enemy on facts, you demonize them by calling them names. It is the oldest debating trick in the book. If you can't deal with facts, if you can't debate on ideas and facts and truth, then you call names and you demonize your opponent. I submit to you, it is a concerted, conscious attempt to divide us in order to, in a sick way, to regain power. Agree? Disagree? Let me know. 877-BOB-LIVE. I'd love to talk to you. 877-BOB-LIVE.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, let me just deal with one more. Well, it's part political, but it's also biblical. Deal with one more issue on politics and so forth, and we'll move on. These two women in Congress, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, are incredibly dangerous, folks. I do not personally know of any truly anti-Semitic people in the U.S. Congress during my lifetime. If you go back through U.S. history, I believe you could find some people who probably could be described as anti-Semitic in our government, but not in my lifetime. America, for the most part, has been very pro-Israel during my lifetime. Throughout American history, there has been at least some pro-Israel sentiment. And, of course, in 1948, Israel became a nation again after World War II by the Declaration of the United Nations and so on and so on. This is new territory for the U.S. government. To actually have two duly elected, and they were both duly elected, one from Michigan, one from Minnesota. Duly elected representatives in our government that are clearly anti-Semitic. I am not positive of this, but from what they have said, what they have written, the people that they associate with, the things that they have posted, I do not believe that they believe that Israel has a right to exist. They do not believe that Israel has a right to exist. Rashida Tlaib is Palestinian. Her family are Palestinians. Have been very vocal critics of Israel. Ilhan Omar is from Somalia, went to a refugee camp in Kenya before coming to the United States. And these two women have, and I don't throw the term lie around very often. If you listen, if you're a regular listener, you know it's very rare for me to call anybody a liar. Very, very rare. These two women are lying about Israel. Now, it's now beginning, and of course the big controversy was they wanted to make a trip to Israel, and Israel denied their entrance into Israel. And of course the Democratic left went crazy. These two women went crazy. The Palestinians went crazy. And then Rashida Tlaib wrote a letter to the Israeli government and pleaded for Israel to make an exception on humanitarian grounds. I want to visit my grandmother. She's 90 years old. I may never see her again. Israel immediately, and I mean immediately, granted her request and said, sure, okay. Humanitarian grounds, yes. We expect, while you're here, not to call for a boycott of Israel. She, Rashida Tlaib, immediately agreed to those terms and then changed her mind. It was a publicity stunt. But what the mainstream media is not reporting is that just a couple of months ago, these two women were invited to go with 70 members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, a bipartisan group of over 70 members of Congress, to visit Israel and the Palestinians. They declined. They wouldn't go. They waited until an anti-Israel group invited them to come and offered to sponsor them. This group that was going to be their sponsors have a record of praising suicide bombers. The group is called MIFTA, M-I-F-T-A-H. So these women refused when everybody else was going to Israel, and they wanted to go with this group called MIFTA, which praises terrorists. And what they're saying about Israel just is not true. They are lying. And again, trying to divide America. Remember, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. These two women are dangerous.